calling this lesson a gospel approach, and we're going to be studying verses 1 through 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Bible says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." So having read this text, we want to offer just a word of introduction as we get started. After sharing a word of praise to God for the work that he had done and was continuing to do in the lives of the believers in Thessalonica, Paul begins to recount the time that he spent with them. And as Paul gives an account of what happened, he offers some fascinating insight into his approach to gospel ministry. And if we're going to be effective witnesses for Jesus, then we need to take our approach to gospel ministry seriously. And as we study this section of the letter, we will see how Paul followed the example of Jesus, how he was bold in his witness for Christ, and how he showed us what it actually looks like to care about people. Now, before we get into the rest of the introduction, just a little bit of background for context. Paul's motivation for writing this letter, as we talked about last week, was first and foremost out of love for the people. He had seen them saved and grow in their faith, and now he's away from them, and he wants to encourage them to continue to be faithful. And you see that motivation all throughout the letter. He's trying to encourage them. He wants them to stay faithful. But there are a couple other motivations for Paul's writing that come through in what we see him write. One of them is Paul is answering some of his critics. See, Paul was not without those who tore him down and slandered him. And one of the things that they would say is that he doesn't really have the authority to do what he's doing. And so part of what we see, especially in this section of the letter, is Paul explaining that he does have the authority, not because there's anything special about him, but because of what Christ has done in his life. And so Paul offers sort of a response to his critics. And then there's also the motivation of Paul wanting to distinguish himself from people who were taking advantage of Jesus and his teachings. There were people who were utilizing the influence of Jesus and his teachings for their own gain, right? They professed to be followers of Christ, but they weren't really followers of Christ, and it was just about enriching themselves and empowering themselves. We see that was really kind of just a continuation of what the Pharisees had set up, right? It was their way of using the God and the law for their own benefit. And we see this continued tactic of the enemy, and that is what it is. It's a tactic of the enemy to use the gospel, to use Jesus and the teachings of Jesus to enrich and to empower. And we've seen it throughout all of church history, and we still see it today, right? There are people who, for Paul, they were charlatans, right? They weren't the real deal. They were just trying to deceive. And Paul wants to make sure that he sets the record straight. Like, I'm not one of those, right? And you know that as he writes to them and reminds them of what it was like when he was there and how he and Timothy and Silas, how they conducted themselves. He said, you know, that's not our heart. It's not, we're not in it for ourselves. And so these are the motivations, and all of them come through in this section. And basically what ends up doing is it gives Paul an opportunity to just give us what's his approach, right? How does he, when he would travel to a city to preach the gospel and to see people saved and to teach them what it means to follow Jesus, how did he, what was his philosophy? How was he going to conduct himself? How was he going to speak? How are his co-laborers going to speak? And so that's really the context here. And so when you read really all of chapter 2 and into chapter 3, Paul is just explaining. He's like, this is what I'm about. And if we're going to be effective witnesses for Jesus, we need to consider our approach, right? We need to consider, how are we going to go about doing the work that Jesus has given us to do? See, for Paul, he took it seriously. And as he describes the way he behaved himself and the way his co-laborers behaved themselves, he makes it clear, we're not just going from city to city doing our own thing. No, we have a responsibility. We have an obligation to take it seriously. And so that is what comes out in this section. And so as we talk about approach and how it was that Paul felt he needed to represent Christ, we could really summarize it in two ways in this first part of chapter 2. Two words. We see one of them in verse 1 and then another one later down in verse number 7. The words are boldness and gentleness. In verse number 1, he says, at the end of verse 2, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel. And then in verse number 7, we were gentle. We were bold, we were gentle. This is the approach of Paul and his co-laborers to gospel ministry. And this approach really follows the example of Jesus. The Bible tells us in John 1 and verse number 14, it gives us a description of Christ. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't that a beautiful description of who Jesus was? He was full of grace and he was full of truth. Now, I'm not saying that there's a direct correlation between what Paul describes, how Paul describes his ministry here, and that description of Jesus. There's a lot of depth and some nuance to that description about Jesus, but there's definitely an application that can be made. And what is that application? During Jesus' public life and ministry, he unapologetically proclaimed the truth while also showing unbelievable grace to undeserving sinners. That was the ministry of Jesus. He spoke the truth and he loved people. And so in this way, we see the example that Jesus has set for us. And when Paul talks about how they presented the gospel and how they taught the way of Jesus, you see that correlation. You see where Jesus was about the truth and about grace. Paul says, we were bold, we are going to speak the truth, and we are going to be gentle. We're going to show people that we truly, genuinely care, and that it's not just words, that it means something to us. And so Paul and his comrades and his co-laborers, those that worked with him in Thessalonica, they were bold and they were gentle. And this is the kind of approach that we ought to want to have as we seek to share the gospel and teach other people the way of Jesus. So what does that mean for us today? So let's think about both of these areas. First, let's think about boldness. We'll read these verses again. The Bible says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. In 2 weeks, when we study chapter 3, we're going to talk about gospel strength, and we're going to talk about how to endure in the face of persecution. But the backdrop for Paul's ministry in Thessalonica was his ministry in Philippi. And when you read in the book of Acts, Paul testifies to here is it plays out. Things were not easy at Philippi. They faced persecution as a result of preaching the gospel. And Paul said, we came from there to your city, and you would think it's normal, like the temptation would be, maybe we should change our approach. Maybe we should try something else. Because at Philippi, it didn't go so great. I mean, the last time we did this, we ended up running for our lives. And do we really want to do that again? But Paul didn't change his approach. When they showed up in Thessalonica, they did the same thing they had done in Philippi and in the cities before that. And it was the same thing they would continue to do in future cities. They preached the gospel. They just didn't let what happened to them, what happened behind them, discourage them. And we'll talk more about how we can endure in spite of opposition. But what we want to notice is that Paul said, we showed up, and we preached the gospel, and we did it boldly. What does that mean to be a bold witness for Jesus? Let's talk about that first. What boldness is? Boldness is a willingness to share the truth of the gospel. Right? So what we mean when we say they were a bold witness for Jesus, we're being specific. They were willing to verbalize the truth of the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, first part of verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And then in verses 3 and 4, it says, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." To be a bold witness for Jesus Christ is to be willing to share the truth of the gospel. It's to be willing to tell people what God's word says about who we are and who God is, that we're sinners and that we needed a savior and that Jesus is that savior and that all who believe in Jesus can be saved. Those who reject Jesus will face the just judgment of a holy God. This is the heart of our faith. It's the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And to be a bold witness is to be willing to share the truth of the gospel. It's to be willing to speak it in our lives, to the people in our lives, to our family and to our neighbors and to our coworkers and to our friends. It's to verbalize the truth of the gospel. And that's important because when we talk about being bold, when you read the New Testament, boldness is always specific. When you read it in the book of Acts, when it says they were bold, it's always talking about them being the gospel. Now, you can be bold about lots of things, right? But if we're talking about gospel change and wanting to see people's lives transformed through the gospel, then what we need to become is bold about the gospel, bold about the truth of the gospel. I found in my life that it's easier to talk about other things, right? Because the gospel, by sharing the truth of the gospel, it identifies us as Christian. It identifies us as religious in a very post-Christian and in a very really post-religious. There's a lot of spirituality and religion still in our culture and and around the world. But when it comes to Christianity and when it comes to the claims of the gospel, right, we're living in a very different time than even 50 years ago. And so to share the truth of the gospel, to identify myself as a Christian, to tell people that I believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins, is to identify myself in a particular way. And so if I'm going to be bold in the gospel, it's I'm going to share the gospel. And you know, that's the truth that people need. It's the gospel in your life. And my encouragement to us is this. How do we know that there's an imbalance in our lives? This is when we're bold and we're willing to speak and speak clearly and unapologetically about all sorts of other things. I mean, this is a season where people are we're bold about our political views, and it's fine to have strong political views, and it's important to speak into the issues of the day and to speak truth. We're not trying to minimize the importance of those things, but what we're saying is the gospel is what changes people's lives. And so when there's this disproportion in our lives, when we're very, very bold about lesser things, and that's what they are. They're good. Some of them are good things and important things, but they're ultimately lesser things. When Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, he said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel." And why was he ready? Because it is the power of God. That's what makes the difference in people's lives. And we would do well as believers to remember that if you're outspoken about this particular interest, or if you're outspoken about political views, or about that's fine. I'm not saying it's wrong one way or the other, but it's not being a bold witness for Jesus unless it's about Jesus. It's got to be the gospel, right? It has to be specific. If we're going to be a bold witness for Christ, then the emphasis has to be on Jesus and the gospel. That's what it has to always come back to for us. And so it's important to ask ourselves, am I bold, but am I a bold witness for Jesus? Right? I'm willing to speak, but what exactly is it that I'm willing to speak about? Because if I really believe that it's the gospel that changes people's lives, you said, but there's all sorts of other issues that we deal with, and that's true. And you ought to be seeking God's wisdom to be able to answer the questions that you're asked. But if you've got family members or coworkers or neighbors in your life, and they don't know Jesus, for all the other conversations that you can have with them, there's no better thing that you can tell them or be passionate about or speak to them than the gospel, because that's what they need. And I think it's important that we come to a place where we start to value seeing people understand and believe the gospel over agreeing with us about other things. And again, how you choose to speak, like some of us don't use social media and some of us love social media, right? We post a lot of things on social media and some of us, it's not a right or a wrong. What we're just asking ourselves with is we have one life and we have one life and one opportunity to speak into people's lives. And so what is it that is going to take up the bulk of the words that we speak? I think there should be if there's going to be a disproportion, it should be Jesus and gospel. That's where the disproportion should be. And so all of us have to step back and just ask ourselves, I might be bold. I'm willing to speak my mind. That's wonderful. Do you leverage that in your witness for Jesus? Or do people just know all the different stuff that you think about all the different things? Because there's nothing wrong with being outspoken, especially if you surrender it to God and say, help me use this to be a witness for you. And so when we talk about boldness, we're talking about a willingness to speak the truth of the gospel. And it's focused and it's on Jesus. We also see that boldness is of the Holy Spirit. And this is really important. Last week when we studied chapter 1, we read this verse number 5, the first part of it. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." If we want to have a witness that is effective, it needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If it's going to be an effective witness, it needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we read in the book of Acts about how they prayed and they asked God to use them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they preached with boldness, what we're seeing is that when the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of God's people, one of the things that happens is that we start speaking the truth of the gospel. Right? So it's always a work of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why it's important that we understand that it's a work of the Holy Spirit is because that means it's not a work of the flesh. We don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but if you want to know if you're being a bold witness for Jesus or if you're just angry, anger is a manifestation of the flesh. And we have to recognize, as sinners, we're going to be tempted to be angry and to speak and to engage with people around us in the flesh. But boldness for preaching the gospel in the New Testament is of the Spirit. So the Spirit is working in and through people. And so what should I want to do as a believer living in America in 2024? I should walk in the Spirit and seek to be filled by the Spirit so that I know that when I speak, it is of the Spirit. I want my boldness to be of the Spirit. I don't want it to be of the flesh. I want to be being used by God. We don't just want to be loud witnesses for Jesus. We want to be bold, Spirit-empowered witnesses for Jesus. So we say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit, and we surrender ourselves to God and to His truth, and we ask Him to fill us with power and speak. Can I ask you an honest, self-evaluating question? Before you post something that might, maybe it's controversial. And listen, again, it doesn't matter what the subject is. Or before you have that conversation, are you asking God to fill you with His power? Is that something that even comes into the consideration? Our lives are so busy and so fast-paced that the idea that before we have that meal with that family member that we haven't seen in a while, the idea that we would spend any time praying and saying, God, empower me, give me the words to say. Because when I speak, I want it to be of you and not of me. I want to be filled with your Spirit and I want to speak boldly in your Spirit. I don't want to speak boldly in my flesh. Because when I speak boldly in my flesh, I can cause problems. I can create issues. I don't want to be in my flesh. I want to be of the Spirit. And so I'm seeking to walk in the Spirit and I'm asking God to fill me with His Spirit because I don't just want to be loud. I want to be Spirit-filled. That's what boldness is. It's a willingness to preach and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit. But what boldness is not? This is an interesting part of what Paul writes here because he spends as much time, like he clarifies, this is what boldness is about. But here's also what it's not. Boldness is not deceitfulness. The Bible says in verses 3 and 5 of chapter 2, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile." Verse 5, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness." So many applications that could be made here, but let's start with this one. Jesus' followers are passionate about the truth. We said being bold is proclaiming the gospel. It's the truth of the gospel. And so we care about what is true. We want people to hear the truth. And so as God's people, we are careful about what we say because we don't want to mislead anybody. We don't want to lie to anybody because we care about the truth. And so if we care about the truth, it means that we know what we believe and why we believe it so that we can share it accurately. And it means that we're not interested in getting caught up in anything that's not truth. We care about the truth. There was no hidden agenda. Paul said, we came and we spoke the truth. It wasn't in uncleanness and it wasn't in guile. We said that Paul, one of the motivations was to separate himself from the people who were just using the teachings of Jesus for their own benefit. And Paul said, when we showed up, we preached the gospel and we were bold to preach the gospel and that was it. There was nothing else that we were after, right? There wasn't any secondary goal. We weren't trying to gain your trust. We weren't trying to convert you so that we could benefit from it in any way. He said, it's not in guile. It's not in uncleanness. Our motivations were pure. He said, we were not hypocrites. When we spoke the gospel to you and what we said to you, we meant it. We believed it. Right? So there was sincerity behind it. It's truthfulness. But listen, being passionate and being excited and dynamic and trying to draw people in with the things that you say, what we need to be is committed and passionate about truth, about the gospel. And that's what we need to be concerned with. And that's because that's what people need. And people need to know that when they hear from us about Jesus, we're not just talking. We believe it. It's sincere. It's genuine. It's from the heart. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves again because next week we're going to talk more about this particular area of it. But Paul will go on to say, you know that we were the real deal, that we weren't just talking a talk. We walked the walk. And it doesn't do us any good to talk a big talk and then not follow it up with action. And so we get excited and we'll agree and we'll say yes and we're willing to hold people in our lives to a really high standard because we're Jesus followers. But then there's no consistency in our own life. Boldness is not deceitful. We're not saying anything that we're not committed to living. We're not talking about being perfect. But Paul said when what we shared with you, we believed it and we were committed to it. And it was just as much a part of who we were as anything else. And before we go into the world, try to preach the gospel, we need to ask God to give us pure hearts. We need to constantly be on guard for the sins of hypocrisy or the lack of sincerity. You know, if anything, sometimes we just get tired. And it's just autopilot. And for Paul, that wasn't what it was. Paul was passionate about the gospel and about what he was saying because he really believed it. There was no hidden agenda. He wasn't trying to get anything from them. It was about giving them the gospel because he knew they needed it. And for you and I as believers, we go into the world with a commitment to truth and a desire to see people saved and to see lives changed. And we mean it. It's not just something that we say on a particular day of the week, but it's a life that we live. Boldness is not deceitfulness. And boldness is not pridefulness. Verse number 4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." And verse number 6 says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Jesus Christ." Boldness is not proud. pridefulness. Paul said, we spoke like people who knew that we had been given the gospel. It's not our message to just preach the way we want to preach it or to do with whatever we want to do with it. He said, it was entrusted to us. We are stewards of the gospel, and that's how we speak. We speak it as somebody who takes it seriously. We have been given the gospel. It's like a gift. And so we're going to give thought to the things that we say. We're going to give thought to how we preach the gospel. We're going to give thought to the next step. Why? Because we've been entrusted with it. It's a gift to us. It's a stewardship of it. Do you consider your place as a follower of Jesus and as a witness for Christ? Do you see that as a stewardship, something that God has given you to care for and to use for his glory in the world? It's not just ours to do with what we please. Sometimes I've heard this passage read, and someone will say, you see, it says we don't please men. We don't care what people think. We're just worried about what God thinks. Well, in the text, when Paul says, we're not pleasing men, we're pleasing God, which trieth the hearts, see, it's a whole lot more humble than you think, than you might initially think. Because he says, we're not interested in pleasing men. It's not that we don't care what people think. It's that people are not what set the agenda for us. God's who sets the agenda for us, because he's the one who we answer to. Right? So the emphasis is not so much on not caring what people think. It's about caring very much what God sees. Because God's the one that tries the hearts. And he said, so we live with a keen awareness of the fact that we are on this earth to do his work. We live to please God. It's a statement of humility. It shows that Paul took it so seriously. He's like, I have to remember that when I'm in a city and when I'm preaching the gospel, at the end of the day, I'm going to be accountable for the way that I conduct myself as an apostle. I'm going to be accountable for the way that I speak. Have you ever just taken some time to ask yourself, is what I'm about to say or how I'm about to say it worthy of the gospel? I claim to be a follower of Christ. Is this good stewardship of that message? Is the way that I'm behaving or the way that I'm carrying myself, is it good stewardship of the message? Because boldness is not pridefulness. We are humble followers of Jesus Christ. A truly bold gospel witness always puts the emphasis on Jesus. There was a bold, bold witness for Jesus, John the Baptist, right? A voice crying in the wilderness. And he had a unique role in the history of redemption. He was preparing the way for the Lord. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, this dude, you talk about a bold witness, wild man, dressed all crazy, eyes bugging out of his head. He's like, we are preaching the gospel. You need to repent. You need to prepare for the way of the Lord. He's a bold witness for Christ. And if you saw him, you would probably think, man, this guy is intense, right? He's serious. And a person like that is inevitably going to have some followers. There's going to be some people who say, man, his message is so compelling and he's so passionate and I want to follow him. And the Bible tells us this story in John 3, beginning in verse 26. And it says, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. They said, John, he's stealing our people, right? The guy that you baptized, people are following him now, and he's baptizing. What are we supposed to do? And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Being a bold witness is about making a big deal of Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about our agenda. It's not about our bringing attention upon ourselves. And Paul said, we didn't use flattering words, and we didn't seek glory for ourselves. It's all about him. It's not about us. We have to be careful that we don't mistake pridefulness for boldness. We have to be careful that we don't allow the sin of pride to have a place in our lives. And as a result, when we speak truth, it is the sin of pride that is influencing what we say and how we say it. You might even be saying what is true, but if you're being influenced by pride, it is going to hinder the effectiveness of your witness. We need, as we witness for Jesus, to be humble and to point people to Christ and to make much of him and avoid pride at all costs. Peter wrote to the believers and said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as God hath dealt to every man a measure of grace. He says, listen, here's what has happened, and we don't want to get ahead of ourselves again because we're going to talk more about this in detail next week. But here's the thing. When we place the emphasis on giftedness and talent and all the things that we bring to the table, and we de-emphasize the things that are more important. And listen, if our work for Christ and what we're saying, if it's drawing people to us, or if it's more about us and what we think and our ideas and getting people to agree with us, we are missing the point. We have to be humble, and we have to point people to Jesus. He must increase, I must decrease. Isn't that an amazing testimony? John said, I'm thrilled. People are following Jesus, and that makes me very, very happy. And it ought to make you and me very, very happy. Beyond any of our personal ambition or some of our likes or our preferences, we ought to want people to see Jesus. That's what it ought to be about. Pridefulness is not deceitfulness, and it's not boldness. Boldness is being willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. That's what boldness is all about. And if we're going to be effective witnesses for Christ, we need to be bold. We need to be willing to speak the truth. But we don't just need boldness. We need gentleness. The Bible says in verse number 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. We're going to reverse the order here, right? We're going to start with what gentleness is not, and then conclude with what gentleness is. When Paul says we were gentle, what did he not mean? Gentleness is not deceitfulness. Just like boldness is committed to the truth, gentleness is committed to the truth. In verse number 9, the Bible says, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Here's what we know it doesn't mean when it says they were gentle. It doesn't mean that Paul and his brothers in Christ were unwilling to speak the truth. We know that's not the case. They definitely spoke the truth. In fact, in verse number 9, here's the impression that you get. They loved them and cared for them so much that they were willing to tell them the truth. Because true, genuine love for others never excludes the truth. So gentleness to what the Bible describes and how Paul handled those who had believed and in their discipling and their mentoring, we know that it doesn't mean that they avoided the truth or that they weren't willing to tell them what was true, because true love tells people the truth, right? So we know that can't be what it is. And just a word of encouragement that we will not lack for people in our lives that want to make us feel better about the things we're doing and how we are, right? So we won't lack for people who will tell us the things that they know we would want them to say. What's valuable and a rare thing in life is people who care about you enough to tell you what's the truth, even if you don't want to hear it, even if they're afraid of what it might cost them if they tell you the truth. That's something that you ought to not take for granted. And if you have somebody in your life or multiple people in your life who love you enough that there's been times where they've come to you and said, I got to tell you something. I don't think you're going to like it, but I think you need to hear it because I care about you. That's something you ought to thank God for. Because gentleness, as we're going to see, is not avoiding the truth. Gentleness is also not permissiveness. Sometimes they have this idea that if we're going to be gentle as we reach people with the gospel, we've almost just got to avoid all the things that are offensive or that make people uncomfortable. To be gentle in our witness does not mean that we avoid talking about things like sin or confession or repentance or holiness. In fact, what we actually see is that it was because of gentleness that Paul and Timothy and Silas were able to disciple and mentor the believers in Thessalonica and call them to obedience. It was because of gentleness, because they knew that they genuinely cared about them, that they were able to invite them to a life of faithfully following Jesus Christ. And so gentleness does not avoid these things. Gentleness is what actually helps us set the stage. If you really want to have that kind of influence in someone's life where you can encourage them and teach them the way of Jesus and help them along and be a mentor to them, it's going to be because they know that you really care about them. In verses 11 and 12, which we'll study next week, it says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom." That doesn't sound like anything goes to me, right? But the reason that Paul could say that was because the believers in Thessalonica knew that he genuinely cared for them. And the reason that he was able to go on, even in this letter, and say, don't forget about holiness, and don't forget about faithfulness, and don't forget about the Holy Spirit, and don't quench the Spirit, and be thankful. The reason he's able to say all these things and encourage them all these things, and they don't receive it like, man, who's this guy to tell us what we should not do? No, they received it because they knew that Paul cares about us. And so gentleness is not permissiveness. No, in fact, gentleness is what actually enables us to have to make a real difference in people's lives. If you want to force people to change and do things that you think they should do, you can give that a go. But there's a lot of evidence that it doesn't work. But if through the Holy Spirit you're able to minister to them the gospel and teach them what God says and show them that you genuinely care about them, you might have a lasting influence on them where you can actually speak truth in their lives and see them grow. It's more effective. So gentleness is not deceitfulness and it's not permissiveness. Gentleness actually sets the stage. So what is gentleness? Gentleness is to put the value where it belongs, which is on people. The Bible says this in verse number 8. "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." Paul says something, writes something similar to this in his letter to the Romans. He says, "I would be accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake." When he's talking specifically about Jewish people, his brothers and sisters, as Israelites, he said, "If I could take your place so that you could receive the truth of the gospel, I would do it." And here he says, we so badly wanted you to believe and to become followers of Christ that we would have given you everything if we could have, our own souls. That's how much Paul cared that people would get saved and would follow after Jesus. When we say that we need to be gentle, it's to learn to see people as valuable, to recognize that people's lives matters, their eternal destiny matters. And you want to know why that it changes us? You know, it humbles us and it softens us because we care so much. I don't want to get in the way of this thing. When Paul talked earlier about being burdensome as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he said, listen, we could have made it about ourselves. We could have made it so that you felt indebted to us. We could have turned the attention on ourselves and been what? Been burdensome. What was Paul saying? He said we could have gotten in the way. But we didn't do that. Why? Because we care truly, genuinely about you, about your eternal destiny, about your soul. We care about that. And so to be gentle is to see people the way that God sees them. We are living in a polarized time where people are willing to see other people in the worst possible way. Jesus followers don't do that. We see every person who needs Jesus the way that God sees them, as a sinner that needs to be saved. I'm not saying that there aren't people who do bad things and people who are promoting. You say, what about the people who are promoting evil and injustice in our society? They're there, aren't they? There are people who promote evil and injustice in our society. And as far as we know, they don't believe in Jesus. They're not interested in his truth. What about those people? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And what it looks like to share the gospel with them or how it's going to happen in their lives. But what I'm saying is that it is, I believe, the work of the devil to cause us as Christians to see people as less than. To not see people. Paul said, we showed up. He didn't know these people. He had never met them before then. He was there for 4 or 5 months maybe, and then he leaves, and now he's writing. He said, I would have given my soul for you. He said, well, maybe he's just exaggerating. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, Paul wrote to them and said, I would have given my own soul for you. Do you see the people in your life like that? And the only reason I ask that is because it's possible that we've gotten a little bit callous towards certain people in our lives. There are certain people in our lives that say, yeah, I mean, the gospel is for everyone, and the gospel can change everyone's life, except for A, B, C, and D. We have our list of people, and listen, I don't know what they did to you. I don't know all the story. I'm not trying to minimize what you've been through. I'm sure some of you have been through some stuff. But the gospel is for everyone and can change everyone. And if I don't think that, if I don't live that way, if I say I believe it, but I don't live that way, I'm limiting my effectiveness in sharing the gospel. To be gentle is to see people the way that God sees them. They matter, their soul matters, their life matters, and they need Jesus. And gentleness is to genuinely, truly care for people. The analogy that he gives, he says, a nurse that cherisheth her children. Best way to understand that as a nurse, it is a nourisher. And in a few sentences, he's going to also use the analogy of a father. And so it's reasonable to think that what Paul is talking about here is a nursing mother. So when he says, as a nurse cherisheth her children, he's not just talking about a mother. We understand that image. But he goes a step further and says, a mother that is nursing, that is caring for an infant child. And any mother who's cared for an infant child knows that it is not the most, you don't get a lot of thanks from the recipient of your kindness, right? They're a couple of years away from even being able to say thank you, let alone do anything to reciprocate any kind of act of kindness. But why does the mother love her infant child? Because why does she serve? Why does she meet the child's needs? Because she loves the child. And it's because it's their mother. That's why she's on the earth. She feels that purpose so deeply. That's why she does what she does. And Paul said, for me, the way I cared for you, the way I loved you, it was the way that a nurse cherisheth her children. I was attentive to your needs, and I tried to serve you and love you and be there for you with no expectation of anything in return. It's a sacrificial and patient love to come alongside people and love people. Being gentle is about walking through life with people and being there for them and caring for them and showing them what the love of God is really all about. I don't know what all of that looks like for you in your life, but there are people in your life who need to know that you truly care, that you don't just say it, that you mean it. And they need to see that there's nothing that I don't do what I do expecting anything in return. That's really hard, right? Because our relationships, it's natural to be sort of transactional in the way that we do things. But if you're going to be a witness for Jesus and serve and love people, we do so without any expectation that anything reciprocated to us. When I was in Bible college, we were in our class with the pastor, and at the time it sounded so pessimistic and sad. But he said, "Guys, I want to encourage you as you serve in ministry. Something you have to be ready for is that sometimes people will take advantage of you. And I thought, well, that's sad. Like, that's kind of depressing, like that people would take advantage of us. And he said, listen, what I mean is that there's going to be times where you just pour your heart into people and you love them and you're there for them and you give of yourself, sometimes even your financial resources and your time, which is precious, and you love them and you serve them. And then one day they get upset or they up and leave and that's it. And you're going to have a moment where you think to yourself, well, what is the point of this? Why am I wasting my time? Why would I give of myself in this way? And so for some, when we talk about gently loving people and serving people and showing them that you care, for some of you, where you're at right now is you're like, been there, done that, not fun, doesn't work. And I want to encourage you to not let that discouragement keep you from the work that Christ has given us to do. Because it is worth it. Love people, serve people, sacrifice for people, give of yourself to try to help people see that they need Jesus and that they can be saved, because it is worth it. And sometimes it's not always going to result in the way that you would like for it to. But that doesn't mean it should stop you. Paul had just left a place where he was literally threatened. His very life was threatened for proclaiming the gospel. And he went to the next city and he said, it's time to do it all over again. Do you think that it wasn't in the back of his mind? He was super Christian, right? It never bothered him. He wrote to the believers at Corinth and said, we are perplexed, but we're not forsaken. We are persecuted, but we're not lost. Always bearing about in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul didn't pretend like nothing that ever that everything that happened to him, that nothing bothered him, that he just kept rolling on. He was just as much of a human being as you or me. But what Paul did in following the example of our Savior Jesus, he kept going forward. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you're here, it's worth it to love people and to care for people and to cherish people and to serve people and to show them what the love of Christ is all about. It's worth it. And whether you're serving in children's ministry, and so you have the opportunity to minister to kids, and you say, man, I don't even know if when am I going to see the fruit of this? It is worth it. Every second is worth it. Every prayer, every time, all the time spent in preparation. You say, I clean, or I participated in facilities at the church, and I do those things. Everything that you do to try to help people find Jesus and follow Jesus, which is what we're committed to. And when you write somebody a card, or when you visit them in the hospital, or when you try, when you go and see them when they're down and out, and you're trying to help them and encourage them, and they call you, and they say, I'm not being what I should be. I'm not doing what I should do. And you just keep loving them. It is worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. People need to know that you care. People need to know that you genuinely, truly care. And so you do that through acts of kindness and love and service. He said, labor and travail, night and day. You say, what does that look like for me? I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know that you need to take what Christ has, what has been revealed to us in Scripture. You need to look at your life and say, I'm going to give of myself to love and to serve people. And if you've gotten discouraged because of things that have happened in your past, my prayer is that you'll be encouraged and strengthened, that you'll be reminded of the joy that it is to see people transformed by the gospel. There's nothing that the devil would love more than to keep you on the sidelines because you got burned, because you got hurt. But we have one life, and it's worth it. Every person that comes to faith in Christ, every person that experiences his love through the way that we live and through the way that we treat them, it's worth it. Don't get out of the game. Stay faithful. In conclusion, if we want to have an effective gospel witness, we need to be bold and gentle. And when we unashamedly proclaim the truth of the gospel and show people genuine love, we're positioning ourselves to have meaningful gospel conversations and to see gospel change. When you speak the truth and when you show people that you mean it and that you care, you're going to put yourself in position that when the time comes, that coworker is going to come and find you. And they're going to say, this is what's happening in my life. And when the time comes, that family member is going to find you. There's a testimony And I would share more if I could, but I'll just let the Lord use it as I can share it. But there's a family member, people have been praying for this person, and they've been loving them and caring for them and ministering to them and trying to encourage them with very little of anything in return. And then today, there was just a breakthrough. And they said, I would like to talk to somebody about Jesus. This is somebody very close to me, and they've been praying, and they've been asking God to do a work, and they've just been loving and serving, not compromising the truth, continuing to follow faithfully Jesus. Let the person know, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's who I am. And they loved them, and they shared the gospel, and they loved them, and they shared the gospel, and God has done a work. Don't give up. It's worth it. Boldness with no gentleness can become harsh. The danger is that we put so much emphasis on what we know is true to the point where people have that all this stuff burdens them down. They don't see a way that they could ever measure up. The danger of only emphasizing boldness is that we stumble into setting expectations for people that they can't meet, and they become discouraged. On the other side of it, if gentleness with no boldness is, the danger is pragmatic, right? When it's just all about, I want to make sure that they're okay, and I want to make sure that they know that I love them, and I want to make sure, and that's very good. But then you start to, if there's no boldness, it means you start to leave out the truth, and people need the truth. They need both. And what happens is people don't have any depth. They don't know what they believe, and there's no growth because of it. We need boldness and gentleness. We need both to be an effective gospel witness, to see gospel change in people's lives. That's what we need.